6 o'clock. I have my medicine, so don't worry. Okay. We are up. We're going to start again from the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Haglachas Tumah Ketzad. What is the procedure of the Nazir Tamei who has to do Taglachas, bring Korbanos, and then start over again is Naziris Tara. Hayamazah B'Shlishu B'Shvi. He did the Hazor, but remember, we're dealing with Tumas Meis. Right? And Tumas Meis needs Paraduma. So in order to get Tahar, he has to go through the Paraduma process, which is sprinkling on him from the water that's mixed with the ashes of Paraduma the third day and the seventh day. Now, a common misconception, at least I think it's common, is that Paraduma ashes and water was located only in Yerushalayim. That's not true. They sent the ashes and the water all around Eretz Yisrael. There were central stations where there was Paraduma water to be had. So a person who becomes Tamei Meis in Tzvach did not have to schlep to Yerushalayim to become Tahor from Tumas Meis. Now this person is going to end up in Yerushalayim anyway to bring his Korbanos. But a regular Tamei Meis, who's not a Nazir, doesn't have to schlep to Yerushalayim to be there for the third day and the seventh day. It's not true. The Paraduma ashes and water was distributed all across the country, in central locations. And therefore, anybody who became a Tamei Meis went to the location near him for the third day and for the seventh day. So if there was a location in Tzvas, people from Tveria could come to Tzvas, I'm just speculating, and have the Paraduma ashes sprinkled to them. One did not have to schlep to Yerushalayim to get it done. I just want to point that out because it makes a lot of people think that anybody became a Tamei Meis, which, by the way, is very common. Unfortunately, since Adam Arishan, people die and people have to be buried and people go to Levayis and they become Tamei Meis. So if you had to go to Yerushalayim every time a guy became Tamei Meis, it would be impossible for him to keep Tara. Impossible. How would he keep Tara? No other Tumah needs sprinkling of Efer Para. Every other tumah can be taken care of with the mitzvah, right? This one needs paraduma. So it makes sense that they didn't, again, but you can't pass him because you sense, but the Mishnah tells us they distributed it all over Eretz Yisrael. So this Nazir, he could stay home on the third day and on the seventh day, and he could have them sprinkled. Now, obviously, if he wants to bring his Korbanos on day 8, he's probably in Yerushalayim on day 7. Maybe Kabbalah Bishmini, and on the 8th day he brings the carbon. That's what the pasuk says.
Yesterday, maybe said if you don't bring on the 3rd, you can't get it to the 6th. So when you bring this?
So 4 days later. What happens is if he can't do it on the 3rd, the day he does it post 3rd is his 3rd for this halacha. He can be mazda on day 6, but day 6 is day 3. The other ones don't count. And again, unlike by Nida and Zava, by Zava it says V'safra La. She has to keep track of 7 days. There's no V'safra La by Tumas Meis. Doesn't have a halacha that he has to count. He has to count if he wants to do it. He can't do it before day 3. But he's not bound by day 3. He does it as soon as he can, and that will be his day 3. It has to be post 3. He can't do it 2 or 1, but he can do it 3. Okay, or further. V'mgilach B'shmini, what if he took the haircut on the 8th day, maybe come and write it by the yom. He does not have to take the haircut and then the next day bring his carbon. He can take the haircut and bring the carbon on that day. But however, he could take the haircut on the 7th day. The Torah is not obligating him to take the haircut on day 7. The Torah is saying at day 7 he can take his haircut and then day 8 he can bring his carbonus. Day 8 he can take a haircut and bring carbonus as well. Where by Mitzayr Halacha is, if he doesn't take his haircut to day 8, he can't bring his Korbanos to day 9. Amaloi, Sir Bekiva answered him, Zeh Tarasa Kluya B'yamav, U'mitzayr Tarasa Kluya B'taglachtai. There's a difference in the Tara process of a Nazir Tameh and the Tara process of a Mitzayr. Because by Mitzayr, it says, he goes to the mikvah after the Taglachas. That means the taglachas is part of his tara process. The mikvah is required after the taglachas. By nazir, it says he goes to the mikvah and then takes the haircut. That means all he needs to have 7 days behind him and he can take the haircut. The haircut is not part of his Tara process. It's part of his Naziris process. It's not part of his Tara process. By Mitzayra, since the Tara said take the haircut and then go to the mikvah, the Tara is making the haircut part of the Tzaras Matara process, which, by the way, was not that the Tara needs to cook Margaret and Svara. But if you think about it, it makes sense because the Mitzayra is taking his second haircut already. His first haircut, right, was at the beginning of the 7 days. And that wasn't an extra, it's part of the process of getting rid of his tzaras. So it makes sense that he ends it the same again. I don't need to make sense. It's very sarcastic. That first he takes his haircut, and he goes to the mikvah.
Does he go to the mikvah at all?
Every time he has to go to the mikvah. Every time he has to go to the mikvah. Without mikvah, nobody becomes tar. The Aina may be carbon, Elam Kein Hayim Urav Shemesh. And therefore, by Mitzayra, he has to have the sun set after his haircut. Because the haircut followed by the mikvah, which requires hair of Shemesh. And then the next day, carbon. And let me just explain it. Most Tameim, except for four, we're not talking about a Nazir now, regular Tamei, he goes to the mikvah, he becomes a Tvoyayim. His Tuma level drops from being Tamei to being a Tvoyayim, which is like the Sheni L'Tumah, it's a lesser form of Tumah. That night, the sun sets, he becomes completely Tahar. That, what? Safe. Because we don't know what Ben as much as this, so it's safe. So, again, every time I have Al-Keri, Zav Bashtei Rias, anybody that doesn't have to bring a carbon the next day, he finishes his Tara process, usually by going to the mikvah. By Tumas Meis, he has to have Parah Aduma water, goes to the mikvah at the end of the seventh day, after he's sprinkled on, goes to the mikvah, that night, he's totally tar. No remnant of Tumah. By Mechusa Kippurim, there are four Tumas that require a carbon. We're not talking about another now. Four Tumas that the Tumah requires a carbon. A Mitzayra, a Zav, who saw three discharges, a Zava, and a Yeletis. Four different. Now, the reason Zav and Zava are separate, we don't say Mitzayra and Mitzaras, is because there's no difference in Simani Tumah between a Mitzayra and a Mitzaras. Zav and Zava have different discharges. Right, so therefore we count them separate. The bottom line is that those people, they go to the mikvah on the last day of their tumah. They tivel. That night, they become mechusar kippurim. They're not finished with their tumah yet. They still have restrictions. They can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara. They can't eat kachim. Those restrictions remain post the Seisar Kachavim because they still need an extra step of Tara. One of them is Mitzayra. So here is the Mitzayra. On the seventh day, he's supposed to take a haircut, go to the mikvah. The sun will set, which will make him eligible to bring his carbon the next day. He needs that sunset to remove his tumas tvoyayim. Now, he becomes a mechusar kippurim. However, if he doesn't go take the haircut that day, and since the haircut is part of the Tara process, for all practical purposes, he has not finished the Tara process. So he needs to take the haircut, go to the mikvah, and wait for the sun to set in order to be eligible to bring the kabbanis the next day. So he can't bring his kabbanis till day 9. Whereas the Nazir, his kabbanis have nothing to do, or his haircut, have nothing to do with the Tara process. Talach and Nazir. He's a Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis doesn't have to take a haircut. Because he's a Nazir, he has to take a haircut. So now he does his Tara process. He goes to the mikvah day 7. He's eligible now to start his Naziris on day 8. So, right? So he brings his Korbanos on day 8. Now, if he didn't take the haircut right away, so what? It's not part of the Tara process. It's not delayed. Why should the Korbanos be delayed? Because of a Nazir halacha. Now, if there was a Xeris HaKasiv, it would be. But logically, it's not part of the Tara process. It's not like Tzaras, where the haircut is part of the Tara process. That's what Rabbi Akiva told Reb Tarfon. Therefore, by another, if he takes his haircut on day 8, he can bring his kabbanis right away, because he completed his Tara process the day before. whereas a Betzaira did not complete his Tara process till after the haircut, then going to the mikvah, and then the sun setting, and the next day bringing Kavan. Dr. Ross. Taglachas to Maketa. Nazis Shinit Maketa to Megaleach. Megaleach Bishvi, maybe carbon Bishmini. Kedusib Gilach Raisha Biyam Tarasai. He takes a haircut on the day he becomes tar. B'yayim ha'shviyi galchanu. B'yayim ha'shmini yom yishtei tayrem v'kevis l'asam. He brings three kavanas, an eilasai, a chatasai, and an asham. Ma bein zel l'mitzayre duksim b'parshas b'tzayre b'taglachas beiz in his second haircut. It says, v'hoi b'yayim ha'shviyi, yigalachas kol sarai, v'chibas b'gadav, v'rochatas b'sarai b'mayim v'toher. Says the same thing, take a haircut on day seven. He brings an oila, a chatas, and a shlomim on day 8. A mitzayra brings three korbanas, chatas, asham, and oila, in that order. The kaimalam and mitzayra, dim galach b'ches, maybe korbanas and b'tes. And by mitzayra, he doesn't bring it to the next day if he didn't take the haircut on day 7. Amalai, shazat tarasa kluya b'yamim. Nazir tarasa kluya b'azaz gimu b'zayin b'tfila. His Tara has nothing to do with haircuts. All he has to do is sprinkle paraduma 3-7 and go to the mikvah. He became totally tar b'zayin. There's no shred left, no remnant left of tumas meitz. There's no reason for him not to bring the kabbalah the same day. He has no tumah left. Abu Mitzayra Tarasek Tugluya B'Taglachta Kedoksev B'Yayim Hazayin Yigalachas Kol Sarai B'Hadrik Tziv Arachas V'Sarai B'Mayim. Then it says go to the mikvah B'Tahir B'im Tavim Hachal Gilach Lay also Lay Tvila. And if he goes to the mikvah before the haircut, it didn't count. Ilkach Im Gilach B'Ches Akati Tzarek Erev Shemesh. So if he takes the haircut on day 8, he still has to need Erev Shemesh, because what happens to happen for him is mikvah, sun setting, then Kabbalah. Helkach ain't a yogal of a Kabbalah Savachi. That's Rav Kiva's answer to Rav Tarfon. Dr. Gemara writes, Kiblu minei elai. Did Rav Tarfon accept it or didn't accept it? We have a conversation. Rav Tarfon asked Rav Kiva a question. Rav Kiva responded. And we don't know Rav Tarfon's reaction to that. Did he agree or did he not agree? Dr. Gemara Tashima. The Tani Hillel. Now, Hillel was not the Hillel HaZaken. This is a later Hillel.
If he accepted it, wouldn't the Mishnah have said it?
And if he argued, wouldn't the Mishnah have said it? I don't say it. He didn't say anything.
Right now, we're at a point that he did not accept it.
We don't know. You don't know what Tarfon said. Again, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Sometimes there are people in this year that ask me a question. Sometimes it happens, right? And I give them an answer, right? Now, sometimes they would say, okay. And sometimes they'll keep quiet and we move on. Do I know whether they agree to the answer or not? They didn't say we don't agree. They didn't say they do agree. Right? We don't know. The conversation is not here. We don't know the rest of the conversation. Whatever you're going to say now is speculative. You don't know what Rav Tarfon's reaction was. The Mishnah is not a history book. The Mishnah is not replaying a recording that happened with Rav Tarfon and Rav Akiva for the sake of history. It's Negei Halacha. Rav Akiva responded, Rav Tarfon, we pass on Rav Akiva. Move on.
Isn't it Mustafa that he did accept it? Because he just asked...
That's why I just answered. See, it's interesting. Here we have a Chavrusa Shas. Was one person convinced that it's Mustafa that he didn't accept it, and one person convinced that it's Mustafa that he did accept it, which means neither is automatically accepted. You can learn his way and learn your way, and we're fine. That's exactly what the Gemara wants to know.
Later on, thought about the answer. Is it right? I mean, that's the point.
Again, well, some people think before they respond, right? Ooh. I didn't mean to say anything, but they think before they respond. So we don't know what he responded. Thank you. Or did he respond? I disagree. We don't know. It's an unknown. And maybe he didn't respond, and that doesn't show us anything. Usually, Shtik is like, duh, but I don't know if you'd say it here. I don't know. Yes. I apologize. I didn't mean anything personal.
Rebbe, whatever Rebbe does, even if he voted for that guy, it's still fine.
Yes.
That one just blanked out my mind. Never mind.
Yes.
Why not? It's played here.
Because we don't have all the conversations. We don't have the whole tape. We don't have the whole conversation. It wasn't recorded. I didn't push one. Yes?
I can think of at least one. I believe there are four. It's where MRI was discussing either earlier MRI was done. It's a difference in the two sides of the debate. So, no, it is not dispositive.
But that's what I'm saying. Right, Jim. The Tani Hillel, this is not Hillel HaTakim. I don't know if this is the Hillel of the Amira. There was a Amira Rav Hillel. 19-year calendar was Rav Hillel. He was in the third generation of Amoraim, and he's the one that responded to the Roman Zera. The Romans were bent on destroying the Jewish calendar because they figured one of their ways, they had different ways that they tried to get rid of Yiddishkeit. And one of the ways they figured, if the Jews keep all their holidays, how are they going to get rid of Yiddishkeit? So they decided to ban Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, if there's no Kiddush HaChodesh, you don't know when Sukkot is, you don't know when Pesach is, and sooner or later, Judaism evaporates. That's what they dissipate. That's what they wanted. But they didn't realize is that we have a fallback option, which is to make a 19-year calendar, which is Rav Hillel made. So he's the one that made the 19-year calendar that thousand-some years later, almost 2,000 years later, we are still using his 19-year calendar. Anyway, the Tani Hillel. I don't know if that's the Hillel here. I don't know. Gilach Bishmini may be Kabbalaisa Bitshi. V'isalkadaita Kimblaminei Leiti Kabbalaisa Bishmini. This Brisa says that a Nazir brings it on the ninth. Now, if there's no opinion of Tanoim that way, if everybody agreed, everybody lived happily ever after, so why is this Brisa come from? That means there is a noise in the background. If Hill is learning this Brisa, if the guy has a question, he won't be able to ask it. If Hill is learning the Brisa, obviously he's dealing with a current opinion. He wouldn't be quoting a Brisa that's not pertinent anymore. Again, if there was a Reb Tarfon that didn't agree, then the Brisa makes sense. But if Reb Tarfon agreed, then why is he all quoting this Brisa that nobody held that way?
Because we don't know if he agreed or not.
Again, this is the proof. And for the Gemara, I'm a Rabbi Leikasha. Hadatavu Bishvi, Hadaletavu Bishvi. That Brisa means, if the guy didn't go to the mikvah the seventh day, and he goes to the mikvah and takes his haircut the eighth day, he can't bring his kavanah to the ninth day. That's what it means. Meaning like this. He did the paraduma, 3 and 7. He was eligible to go to mikvah day 7. He didn't. Can he send his kavanah day 8? No. He has to be rid of his tumah, and he doesn't get rid of his tumah to the mikvah. So therefore, this brisa might not just be talking about gilach bishmini, it might mean mikvah bishmini as well. So there's no proof from this brisa. End of story.
When did he go to the mikvah?
Well, we assumed he went day 7. But Rav is answering, the brisa might mean that he went to the mikvah day 8. Now, the brisa didn't say that. But Rav is saying, don't prove anything from the brisa, because the brisa might be talking that he didn't go to the mikvah to day 8. And if he didn't go to the mikvah to day 8, he's not tar. So he can't bring his kabbalah to day 9. Zuck the rush. That's the chiddush here. That the Torah wants him. I'm trying. Right. I guess the Torah. This is what Rav is saying. That to send his kabbalas, we want him to be tar. The reason the kabbalas are on day 8, not on day 7, is because we want the tumah out of the way before we start the process over again. Dr. Raj, Kibla Minei Rav Tarfon Rav Kiva Tashamad the Tani Hill, Gilach Bechas Mevi Kabbalaisa Betes, Vitzalkadai the Kibla Minei, Hakabraishad Loi Kamana would be like nobody. The Kibla the Tamuda, and the Gemara knows the Gabi Nazir Misna. See, the Raj is bothered. Who said this Raj is talking about Nazir? You say a word about Nazir here? Dr. Raj, they knew that it's talking about Nazir, and they also knew. Right, the Gam Kimble, the Acha Mishnah Mishnah. So this is a later Brisa. The Fisha Mishnah is Nishnu Kaidama Brisa. Hagel I tavo b'zayin at yom ches. But it's 4 yom, but you can have your kibbutz night stuff. The Brises were redacted after the Mishnah, it's correct.
I mean, were they ever, I mean, European Revisha, but was that really a redaction? Was that corpus? Or did people simply have on the earth that this Brise was from
Rav Chiya? And Rav Chiya and Rav Chiya redacted Brises.
Redacted
means. What does redacted mean? I'm not Webster's. And I'm sure if I'll say something, the doctor will correct me that there's 3 translations of Webster's to say differently. But redacted means, in my mind, is organized, eliminated the ones that didn't make sense, put in the ones, left in the ones that are true, and make sure that there's nothing there that could be wrong.
Curated.
I'm sorry?
Curated.
Is such a word? Curated?
Sure.
Curated.
Redacted, you.
Fine, okay, I'm not going to get involved in that.
And I'm working with Brises, so we're
again. Give me a chance, I'll try to answer you. There were many, many Tanoim, over many, many generations. And each one taught their Talmidim a lot of halachas. And all those halachas were swimming around in Tirish Baal Peh. That means you went to yeshiva. You might be told that 3 generations ago a Tana said this way, and another Tana said this way. You might not be told that because your Rebbe might be teaching you part of it, not all of it. His opinion, Reb Meir taught his opinion, Reb Yehuda taught his opinion, Reb Tzifa taught his opinion, Reb Kiva taught his opinion. Sometimes they told you more, sometimes they taught. That's how the Messiah worked. Till Rabbeinu Kaddish came around. And Rabbeinu HaKaddish had the opportunity, based on Antoninus, that's what Rashi tells us, that Antoninus, Rashi and Bab Mitzia, that Antoninus went and allowed a situation to exist where Rebbe could gather Kol Chachmei Yisrael. He made a big convention of Kol Chachmei Yisrael. This is a Rashi Bab Mitzia, this is not Yitzchak Margaretin, and organized which all the different opinions and decided which ones are the ones that we're going to go with. He brought the opinions that he thought should be brought. He left out many opinions that he didn't bring. He brought the ones he thought should be brought. And sometimes he wrote a Stam Mishnah because he decided that this is the halacha. He made all this. He based it on previous Mishnayos that were being taught. Reb Meir's Mishnayos, Reb Yehuda's Mishnayos, Reb Yaisi's Mishnayos. He took Reb Meir's Mishnayos as his template, and he said, okay, we're going to build off of this. I'm going to add this. I'm going to add this. I'm subtract this. Subtract this. And he made what we have, Mishnayos, it's a machlokes rishayim, whether he wrote it down or he just taught it as the final version of Mishnah. Meanwhile, out there were many, many other opinions and many, many other Mishnayos taught by different Tanoim that existed all those generations. So they're not Mishnayos, they're not in our Mishnayos, because our Mishnayos was organized by Rebbe. Whether he wrote it or didn't write it, he made the final version of Mishnayos. There is no version of Mishnayos after him. He had all Chachmei Yisrael together, and he decided, with their approval, to make this Mishnayos. This is Mishnayos. No longer are we interested in anybody else's Mishnayos to be on the level of Mishnah. Rebbe did that. But meanwhile, there were many other opinions. So different Amaroim organized different opinions, and they called that Brises. Brises means outside. It's the outside ones, the ones that didn't make it into Mishnayos. Many of them explain a Mishnah. Many of them bring opinions that argue in a Mishnah. Now, they were organized by different Amaroyim, whole bunch of different Amaroyim. There were different yeshivas that organized the Brises. The ones that became the ones that we rely on the most are the ones organized by Reb Chiya and Reb Aishya. They put that together after Mishnayos was put together. Right. Therefore, the Rosh is saying over here that if there was no opinion that way beforehand, there would be no Brisa that would be redacted by Hill, who redacted Brises, and quote an opinion that's no longer existent. because the man who held that opinion withdrew it. So why would he put it in a brisa? It should be a brisa that never makes it, because it doesn't exist anymore. And since Hill put it in his brisa, means that opinion exists. That's what the Gemara wants to prove. Did I answer your question?
Very thoroughly. So in other words, Rebbe did not... Did he approve of having brisas? Was he approved?
It's not... Again, he wanted to make a mishnah. He didn't mind if you knew more things, but realize his mishnah is the authority. In those days, you paskin from mishnayas. You learned the mishnah, and you knew halacha. Because Rebbe told you what halacha is. Like, mean, if you lived in Rebbe's days, right after Rebbe, and you read over here that Rebbe Akiva answered the Tarif and Bas, you would say, that halacha is like Rebbe Akiva. You would know the halacha. Now, what happened is, as generations moved on, they had questions and answers and contradictions of things, and that became Gemara. That is why, I'm going to take a minute for this, because I think it's important. The Rambam wrote a sefer that he called Mishnah Halacha. That's what he called the sefer, Mishnah Halacha. What did he mean? He writes in his Hagdama, Rebbe made Mishnayot, but we can't rely on those Mishnayot anymore because the Gemara changes them and has contradictions. But I'm going to write to you the Halacha. You learn my sefer, you'll know all the Halacha, which is Torah Shabbat Peh. You'll know all of Torah Shabbat Peh. You learn Rambam cover to cover, you will, and you know it, you know all of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what the Rambam said. Because Torah Shabbat Peh means knowing what to do in Halacha. Gemara, Svaris, questions, answers, that's Gemara. It's a certain chelik. But knowing Torah Shabbat Peh is finite. There's a mitzvah to know all Torah Shabbat Peh. So how do you know all Torah Shabbat Peh? You learn Gemara, Mishnayos. But the problem is... Yeah, finite. The Rambam says this. How can the Rebbeinu Tam give us a mitzvah to know Kala Tarakula if it's not finite? If the Rebbeinu Tam gave us a mitzvah to know Kala Tarakula, it must be finite. That doesn't mean Torah is finite. That means the requirement of knowing is finite. The infinite part of Torah is the Gemara. The Svara is the understanding, the questions, the answers. Halacha is finite. Rebbe wrote Mishnah, which means Halacha. But it can't be relied on anymore because of the Gemara. That changes and asks and answers. And so now, how do you... So, the Rambam, I'll do it for you. The Rambam writes in the Hagdama that if you learn my sefer in Tanakh, and you know it, you know Kala Tarakula. That's what the Rambam says. The problem is we don't pass like the Rambam all the time. So we're back to where we were. So we don't have one sefer that we can open up and read cover to cover and know all halacha. Because we don't pass like the Rambam. But that's what the Rambam said. You paskin like me, because I'm right. The Yaldi was right. And you learn my sefer, cover to cover, you will know Torah Shabbat Peh. And you have to learn Tanakh and my sefer, and you'll know Kala Torah Kula. That doesn't mean it's not infinite. But that's past me. That's to understand why and the hows and the whats and the whens. But the halacha is clear.
But if you would do that,
that's what the Rambam
says. He says the Rambam says that he's right. Well.
He says, do my sefer.
What I'm saying is as follows. I know Rebbe is saying, we have to wait.
How do you know what if you know what I'm going to say, you don't ask it. And if you don't know what I'm going to say.
The guy would go and do, Rambam says the sefer. I think my brother-in-law does it.
No.
That's not my brother-in-law.
I don't know. Can he get punished at all? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you with Manasseh,
because it's a Shulchan
Aruch, and there's all kinds of different features.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. My answer to that is I don't know. But if the Rambam will tell you, you do my sefer, and you do... you know Tanakh, you know my sefer, you know Kol Terekua. Now you have to understand that since the Rambam happened, many different shilas have come up that the Rambam didn't paskin. Now, you would base those shilas, if you learned like the Rambam, you would base it on Rambam. But it would be, now we have different opinions. We have a Rashman, a Ridva, and a Rosh, and a Rif, and all kinds of different Rishayim. And then based on that, a Shulchan Aruch, and a Ramah, and a Shach, and a Taz, and a Magen Avraham, and a Prima Gadim, and an Eliyahu Rab, and a Mishnah Brura, and a Chazai Nish, and Rabbi Shen, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. You have all kinds of different people. So there is no Sefer today that can come and tell you, learn my Sefer, you know Torah Shabbat Peh. Can't do that. Because we don't know. Right. But I do know, and I will throw this in, again, I don't know this firsthand, I know this secondhand. There was a person that was diagnosed that he had very little time to learn, live. And he asked Rav Gifter what I should learn. I have this much time, doctor tells me, what am I supposed to do? So Rav Gifter told him, learn Torah. Learn the whole Torah. Because the Torah brings the main opinions in halacha, and but the Torah only covers things that are negei lemaisa, unlike the Rambam that covers everything. This is what I was told. I was told by Rabbi Fishman's Kohen Rebecha. He said it to me, going back 40 years, but he said it to me, and he said that Rav Gifter told the person to learn Torah. You probably know who the person is. I don't think it's Lashon Hara, it's not Lashon Hara. The guy, Mati Schneider. And Mati Schneider asked Rav Gifter, what should I learn? And Rav Gifter is also learn Torah. So Rabbi Fishman told me. Again, it's not firsthand. But that's what, because of this, no halacha. Now, what's he supposed to tell him? Learn Mishnah Brura and Yordaya and Evidat. I mean, the person has a very limited time. He told him, learn Torah all four halacha. That's what Rav Gifter told him. Again, this is not firsthand. I'm not a Klerishan. I'm a Klisheni.
I just think about the other day. You
have
to
come
talking after the
morning.
I think you said that the other day.
I said it from the Kazanish.
Right. So,
according to
Rambam, you don't have to learn
more. No. There's a mitzvah of Limud HaTorah that's infinite.
That's besides, you know, the Kol
Torah Kula. Exactly. Because you know Kol Torah Kula means you know facts. You don't know reasons. You don't know where, why, how, what, how to apply it elsewhere. You don't know that. That comes from delving into it. It's that. That's called Gemara. That's the third chelik of Torah. There's Torah Shebetzav, there's Torah Shebapeh, and then there's Gemara. That's what the Rambam says. It's not just like Margaret. You can't have a mitzvah of knowing Kala Torah Kula if it's infinite. How can there be a mitzvah of knowing Kala Torah Kula? You can't know it.
But it's interesting where you said that, because
I didn't say the Rambam.
At the Siyum, I don't want to say, my brother said, David was there, and Reuven was there, so he's singing in front of pretty big people.
Right.
And he was saying, Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what he said, those words.
Yeah, the Rambam says it.
And very few people can say something like that.
I'm asking. Right. And the truth is, and I'm not sure, we know, we don't reinvent the wheel, that's all you said. Don't try to change the world. Let the world be. The Rebbe Hashem is his world. He knows exactly what's happening. Most of our learning is not concentrating on halacha. Most of our learning doesn't get to halacha. The true way of learning would be, again, and I am just as guilty as everybody else, is learn every sugya, and after every sugya, learn the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and Har. Now, there were two people that recently lived, and I mean recently in the last 150 years, you know, when I was young, it was in the last 100 years, that wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula LaHalacha. The Aruch HaShulchan, who wrote a Sefer Aruch HaShulchan, and then wrote an Aruch HaShulchan HaOsed on all the things that are not in the Negei B'Zman HaZeh, and Paskin the Halacha. He went through all the Rishitas and said, this is the Halacha. People don't even know it exists, the Aruch HaShulchan HaOsed, but it's a Sefer that he wrote on all the Halachas, based on the Rambam, but he went through the sugya. And the Chazay Nish wrote Kol HaTorah Kula LaHalacha. I think he's the last one to put out a sefer LaHalacha on Hilchas Kalim and Hilchas Olas. So did the Aruch HaShulchan HaOsed. He did the same thing. He learned every sugya in Shas, and he brought it to Halacha L'maisa. He did Kol HaTorah Kula LaHalacha. He paskined every shayla. According to him, if you learned all his svarim, you would know Kol HaTorah Kula. And the Chazay Nish did the same thing. But since the Chazay Nish, I don't think anybody's written a sefer LaHalacha L'maaseh on Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't think so. Again, what do I know? But that's what I think. Tzadarash. When he's a Toyaim, he can't bring his Kibbutz. But clearly, why did it have to say that he didn't take the haircut till the eighth day? If the Braisa meant he didn't go to the mikvah, so let the Braisa say he didn't go to the mikvah. Who cares about the haircut? The Gemara's answer was he didn't take the haircut to the eighth, didn't go to the mikvah to the eighth day. So why did the Braisa say he didn't take the haircut to the eighth day? We don't care about the haircut. The way the Gemara's answer, the Orch of the Milsa, not because you died to the Gleich, we have to Rasai. So that is, the Braisa reversed the haircut, but according to the Gemara's answer, it means the mikvah that went along with the haircut. But ain't looking at me. Really, the haircut's not what counts. It's the fact that he didn't go to the mikvah. So I'm thinking about advice that we're getting involved now in a little bit of a different sugya. I'm Rabbaya. Askechasinu l'chavrei d'Rav Nassim bar Aisha. I found the friends of Rav Nassim bar Aisha. The Yasmin b'Kamran. They were sitting and saying. They were learning Chumash, Parshas Nasai, and it said, U'bal l'fnei Hashem, el Pesach ayomayet. He comes to Hashem in front of the Ayomayan, to the door of the Ayomayan, Unisana Malakayan, and he gives his Korbanus, this is Mr. Nazir Tame, and he gives his Korbanus to the Kayan. Right. That's what it says. It doesn't really say those words, at least the way they quote the Pasuk here, it's a little different. But it says Tamba Zav, thank you. This is Tamba Zav. But there's a similar passing by Nazir, as we're going to see. The Zav comes to Fnei Hashem HaPesach HaYomayin and gives his Kabbalah to the Kayan. Amos Ayuba, when can he come? Bizman Shul Tabal V'yasa Harav Shemesh. When he tabled and had it overnight, then the next day he can come to the Ayomayin. What's Bey say? Tabal V'harav Shemesh in. But if he didn't go to the mikvah to have shemesh, he cannot come on Pesach HaYomayin. Right? The Pasuk says, he goes to the mikvah, sunsets, the next day he brings his korbanos to the kayan. That means till then he can't bring his korbanos. Can't walk in there. Okay, now let's step back. The halacha is, a tummy cannot walk in. Let me step back. Certain tummas are restricted. There are three machnas. Machne Shechina, Machne Leviya, Machne Yisrael. Machne Shechina is the Azara, Ezaz Yisrael, and on. From inside Shar Niknar, to spend 2 minutes, when you came into the Harabayas, you walked into an area called the Chil. After the Chil came to Ezra's Nashim. That was all Machne Leviya. That was Machne Leviya, but Tzeroam couldn't come in there. Zavim couldn't come in there. Mitzayra can't come to Yerushalayim. But a Zav, being Yerushalayim, but he can't walk into Machne Leviya. Machne Leviya is Harabayas. Up to, when you're moving from west, from east to west, up to Shar Niknar, which is the gate of the Ezra Yisrael, of the Azara per se, where the Shechita happens and the Zrika happens in the Azara. Shar Niknar itself was not made into Machne Shechina because they wanted to allow Mitzroam to stand there so they can protect themselves from the rain and things like that.
That's a barrier between
Ezra Nashim and Ezra Yisrael. You walked up the steps, you came to Shar Niknar, that was the gate to Ezra Yisrael, but the Shar itself was not made Kaddish. Inside Shar Niknar is Machne Shechina. The halacha is a Machne Shechina. Not only is a Tami Chayev Karas if he walks in, but a Tuyayim is Chayev Karas if he walks in, and a Mechusa Kippurim is Chayev Karas if he walks in. That means the person who has to bring a carbon, hasn't brought his carbon yet, cannot walk into Machne Yisrael, it's Machne Shechina. If he does, it's Chayev Karas.
You went from Machne Yisrael to Machne Shechina.
No, you went to Machne Yisrael, to Machne Leviya, to Machne Shechina.
So what's Machne Leviya? What?
Beginning of Harabayas, up to, starting from east to west. You walk into Harabayas, you're in the Chil. That's what it's called. Then from the Chil, you went to Ezra's Nashim.
I'm going away now.
No, I'm going towards the Beit HaMikdash. I'm standing in the east. The Beit HaMikdash is in the west. I'm going east to west. I walk into the chil.
Now I'm in
Machta Leviya. I continue on to Ezra's Nachim, which is still Machta Leviya. I move up those steps, 15 steps between the Ezra's Nachim and the Ezra's Yisrael. I climb those 15 steps, and there was no banister, by the way. I climb those 15 steps, no railing. I climb those 15 steps, and I'm now standing in front of Shar Nichnar, at the top of the steps. The Shar Nichnar itself is still Machna Livia. The minute I step into past Shar Nichnar, I have entered Machna Shchina.
Outside the
chil
is
Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Machna Yisrael.
Wait, did the doors open?
I remember correctly. One of the other says they know that's why they made some English doors. I think they opened inside, but I'm not sure. No, they might have opened outside. I don't know. Rabbi Schutz will know. It's a Mishnah.
So the Machna Yisrael is unaware of the thickness of the door. That would be already...
No, the thickness of the door is Machna Leviya. They left it not to be Kaddish, so people who are Tamei, who can't walk into Machna Shechina, to be able to be protected from the rain. They Bedavka didn't make it Machna Shechina. So people will have to be there, because they're bringing their kabbanas. And then after they bring their kabbanas, they will be a completely tar. But they can't walk into Machna Shechina, and it's raining, what are they going to do? So that's one way. The other option is, they were nice, and they didn't make Shar Nichnar Kaddish. That way, a person can stand there. Now, that's not welcome.
Shar Nichnar was surrounded by walls, right?
The Shar Nichnar is the gate to the walls of the Azara, correct.
So, how could people see what's going on? How can Yisrael, who saw her, see what's going on? As a Kabbalah.
He can walk past Shar Nichnar into the Azara.
He was
right about 11
Amos. All Klai's wealth could be there.
11 Amos, they were allowed to walk.
And when they put their lulavim on Mizbeach.
They didn't put their lulavim on the Mizbeach ever.
They
never put their lulavim
on Mizbeach.
That was Arabis, and that wasn't Klai Yisrael doing it. They had one set of Arabis around the Mizbeach. Nothing to do with everybody's personal Arabis. Not their personal Arabis.
Oh, I thought it was.
It's not a Shadarabba. They're not throwing it on top of the Mizbeach like you throw it on top of the Arab. Or you don't throw it on the top of the Arab.
Yes.
Which I don't understand the Minik B'chlau, where it came from to throw it on top of the Arab.
Why?
The Arab HaKadosh is the Arab HaKadosh. Why are we throwing things on top of it? But it's a Minik HaKadosh, so I don't question it. I know we don't reinvent the wheel, right? We try to follow, not to create. That's the... So now...
I'm sorry, the Israel could walk in.
Unless he had to walk further. Sometimes it's a need to walk further.
Where did they do Tznufa?
Closer. They walked in for Tznufa. Again, Israel is allowed to walk in the first 11 Amos for no reason. If he's necessary to go further, let's say he wants to shecht his own carbon ayla, which he's allowed to. The carbon ayla, according to one Maliamar, has to be shechted due north of the Mizbeach. How is he going to get there if he can't walk there?
Anyone can shecht there if he wants. Anyone can
shecht. She's shared by everybody. Who knows how to shecht? So, that's called a need. For need, he can walk further.
What's interesting is, I think this is important to say this.
Yes.
I have a brother-in-law that's a chef. Two brothers.
I'm so happy. I'm really so happy. Do me a favor. Give me his number in case I'm stuck in an island somewhere. I'll call him up to chef.
There's the brother-in-law and this guy that's called her Kula. He's the chef, okay? And I'm just a regular guy. But the point is, if you don't have a Rebbe like Rebbe...
They can't do it and you can. Anyway, go ahead.
I didn't deserve... It happened to be that I was born. How much did Rebbe say today... that most people don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know what most people know or don't know.
What I'm trying to say is we're so lucky to have Rebbe.
Thank you very much. I think you should write it up and send it into the... Again, I'll say it one more time. I don't know what people know what don't know. So when I come here, I start from ground zero, which is outside the Harabayas. And I walk towards the Shar Nichnar. There are today, I only saw one of them, but there are four or five already. They put out these 3D, I don't know what they call them, videos. You wear goggles and you see
virtual reality.
They have one on the Beis HaMikdash, one on Avoda, one on Karban Pesach, and you're there. You feel like you're there, and it's a huge education. You really learn a lot, a lot. It was frightening because, you know, you would see there, they put you over that ledge over there, like you're hanging. You feel like you're hanging there. And you're watching the people come into the Azara, where they're standing in the Azara, where the Avoda is done, and how the Tyrus is done. They take you into the room where the Mefatim, the Tyrus, and they show you the ingredients, and they show you how they did it. It's an unbelievable thing. It's very expensive. If you want to pay for it. It's a very, very expensive thing. I know in camp they did it. Somebody sponsored it, and they got like 30 goggles, but you have to pay for each viewing. So one guy let me watch. I wore the goggles. You wear goggles like 25 minutes, a half an hour, and you wear those goggles, and your mamas feel like you're there. They have them on the Beis HaMikdash, three or four of them already, and maybe even more by now, and you mamas learn all about the Beis HaMikdash. Much easier to learn that way because it's visual. You're there. You're there. How you walked into the Azara, how you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, they take you from the bottom through, the whole thing. It's a beautiful thing. Again, in camp they charge $20 a kid, but that's because there were 40 kids seeing it. But it's an expensive thing, but there's an organization that does this.
They just have it in the girls' building.
What?
They just have like eight and four of these goggles.
Yeah, they had it in the girls' building?
Yeah, a couple.
Which great.
A month ago.
It's interesting that they would show the girls right in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's fine. It could be something else. They do all kinds of things. But visual learning is much easier. So if you want to, you can buy them or rent them. You rent them. They don't sell it to you. You rent them and you pay per view. And I guess they have a way of counting how many people viewed. And you pay per view. And you get to watch these things. It's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. It's like you really feel like you were there. They have you there. Your mamas feel like you're standing next to the Kayan who's being Mefatim the Tyrus.
Because of the outside.